This morning's our third message in a series of messages on Ecclesiastes, and we're going to be in chapter 3 today. And today's message, similar to what John alluded to talking with the kids, is today's message is going to be on time. We're going to focus on this element that we all live in, that we all function in. I was plugging things in to our family Google calendar. I don't know if you've gone that direction with a digital calendar, but as our kids have grown up, and now they're teenagers, they have events. My wife, Evelyn, she's at the women's retreat right now, but Evelyn has events. I have events. We all have our own color within our Google calendar, and it's all shared. So as soon as Evelyn puts something on, then it pops up on my calendar, and I've got a couple of colors, a GRX color, my chores, like the stuff I have to do. They're all kind of, and if you look at our calendar, it's kind of, it looks like a giant wreckage of colors that have smashed into each other. And I love it because I like all the little boxes. But I was reflecting on this calendar, and I'm like, you know, I'm really trying to get a hold of our time. I'm really trying to, like, make order out of what feels to be so chaotic. And as I thought about it a little bit more, I thought, time is a resource. And, you know, there's that kind of popular phrase, time is money. And I thought, well, time is like that. Time is a little bit like money. We spend time just like we spend money. We guard our time. We invest our time into people or projects. We all have some time. And then if you're like most people, you never feel like you have enough money or time. And then I went a little further and I thought, but there are some really critical ways that time is not like money. We can't really save time. I mean, we have time-saving devices, but we really can't save it or put it in the bank. We really can't control it. I mean, time just flows on and on. We can't really control it or contain it. And then the other thing that struck me was, we really don't know how much we have. You can look in your bank account, your statement, and say, oh, this is how much money I have. But time, we really don't know how much we have. And so part of what today's message will be and part of where we're going to end up is God makes all things beautiful, like John said. God makes all things beautiful in its time. And one of the places I'm going with the message is to appreciate the time that we have. Appreciate what God has given us. So we're going to look at two main things for this passage today, Ecclesiastes 3. We're going to consider these two things. Number one, time, our time now, the time that we have. And George, if you could put the first slide up, that'd be great. We're going to consider our time that we have presently. And then two, we're going to consider eternity. Because the first part of Ecclesiastes is a poem, verse 1 to 8. But then after that, there's this really key verse, Ecclesiastes 3:11, and it says, he has put eternity into man's heart. Meaning God, even though we live in our time, God has put eternity, the idea of eternal life, into the hearts of people. So today we're going to talk about time and eternity. If you've been with us for the last 2 weeks, we've been going through all these very nonlinear, random topics about searching for meaning. Achievement, possessions, goals, building stuff, all of this stuff, is this the source of our meaning? Today, we're going to shift into something that's poetic. It's a very, very beautiful piece of scripture. If you are a fan of sort of 1960s rock, you will know that there was a group called The Byrds, and they made a song called Turn, Turn, Turn. And it is right out of the Bible here. I don't actually know how many people here were born in the 60s, but if you, come on, I know I'm not going to call you out, but I know you. I'm looking over there. I see you guys. But you can look it up on YouTube, early song. I'm not going to sing it for you. But listen to Ecclesiastes as, and what I'll do is I'll break down the poem just so that we can understand what's going on. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, the poem begins like this. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And then what we're going to see here is we're going to see a series of what are called couplets, or we're going to see phrases said in opposition to each other. And what's going to happen is this poem is going to sort of go back and forth between these couplets, kind of a rhythm or a balance. And it covers all of these things within human existence. So for everything, there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And then here are the couplets. A time to be born and a time to die. There's actually going to be seven sets of things that I'm going to pull out. And the first thing is human life. A time to be born and a time to die. And then the next couplet is actually human activity. It says this. There is a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. There's a season for all these things. And then the next piece is actually he explores human emotion. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And then the next couplets deal with relationship, human relationship. All these things are under the sun. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Now just so we understand, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, what does that mean? There's a lot of biblical commentators that have engaged this. A number of people land with the stones in the idea that at this time, in around 300 BC, this would be actually kind of a reference to this human relationship and the building of houses. So it would be time to cast away stones. It would be kind of a time when you would tear down a house and sort of scatter those stones. But then a time to gather stones together is a time for building a home, time for building houses, time to gather stones together to construct a home, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. And then this fifth group is kind of in this arena of possessions. We've been looking at some of that already in Ecclesiastes. But a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow. And then these last couple of things, there's communication, affection, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And that last couplet, if you want to, you could consider government and power. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go back actually and read the whole poem in its entirety. There's a lot of pieces here. There's a lot of things that the author of Ecclesiastes is engaging. But he's trying to engage this totality of human experience. We live, we die, and all of this stuff in between. So if you want to, you can kind of follow along, and we're going to read this passage again on the screen. Or if you'd like to, you could just close your eyes and just reflect on this passage and just let the beauty and the symmetry and the rhythm of the poetry pass over you. So here again, a reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. It's been interesting personally reflecting on this passage as we've gone through the summertime. I know a number of you know that Evelyn's father passed away on July 1st. I've been in a lot of conversations with family and extended family, and it's been an interesting season as we grapple with particularly this first part, that everything in human life, there is a season or a time for life, a time to be born. We celebrate when people are born and newborns and life, but then also there's a time for death. There's a time for passing, and a funeral service, a memorial service, a time when you gather and you tell stories and you encapsulate in a very honoring and yet a very small way a person's life. You tell these stories of their love, their acceptance, and their leadership, and their faithfulness. But then death is very ending. And there's something very powerful about death. Not only is it finite, but it also casts the time that we have now with the people that we're living with in a much greater light to appreciate the people, the relationships, the human experience that we have now. Because this human life, there is a time to be born, but there's a time to die. And it's just been very powerful and just sort of very personal. Time to grapple with that as we walk through that with Evelyn's family and especially grieving the loss of her father. Now, Ecclesiastes takes all of this and says, all of this is there's a time for everything under the sun. But then it goes on and says this in verse 9. It says, what gain has the worker from his toil? All of this stuff that we do under the sun. I have seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything, there's a season. God's made everything beautiful in its time. And then this is what I think is key. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so, he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. And what that means is that even though God has placed eternity or the perception of eternity in our hearts, what that second part means is we cannot perceive all the activity of God, even though we can perceive eternity. Now, I'm going to play out a little bit of this contrast between the culture and the Christian life. Because we live now in a culture, and if you can just skip ahead, George, to the next couple of slides that say the culture and the Christian life. The next slide. Okay.
that even though we live in a particular culture, there is a Christian life which presents a different worldview. Now, there is agreement between the culture and the Christian life. Both the culture and the Christian life agree that we will all die. That's true. The culture and the Christian life both recognize that. However, the culture, we live in a culture that says, this is all there is. This time, this present time is all that there is. So live for the present. Kind of in popular parlance, it's YOLO. You only live once. YOLO, you only live once. Right? You got to do this right now. Because you only live once. Because this present time is all that we have. You got to spend right now. You got to do it right now. You got to eat at this restaurant right now. You got to go bungee jumping right now. Because you only live once. And that's the present life. But the Christian life says, no, it's not just the present life. There is eternity. And that's what Ecclesiastes is saying, that humans can perceive eternity. And it's an eternal life that God invites us into. I'm going to try to illustrate this with this rope, and I'm going to kind of modify a little illustration that I saw this preacher, pastor named Francis Chan do, I'm going to change it just a little bit, but I thought it was a great illustration. So this rope, the gold part that's here, and if you can see it, kind of just goes down this way, the gold part is eternity. And we can think about this whole thing as time. This is time. This is our whole thing. And it just goes on and on and on, and it just goes and goes and goes. This blue part is our life. This is your life, okay? And right here is when you're born, because that's where you begin. And you go, and you live, and you go to elementary school, and then you're kind of cranking along, and then junior high, and then high school, and then maybe you go to college, or maybe you start working, and you kind of crank all along, and then you kind of go, and you do all this activity, and maybe, I don't know, you get an apartment, or whatever, you live in a house, and then all the way to the end here, and then the blue stops, and you die. All right? That's here. Now, I put this in the middle because sometimes we forget that actually time had started before us. And there's all this stuff that comes before. But here, we live, and then here we die. And in this passage, Ecclesiastes is saying everything in here is beautiful. But God has also placed eternity in our hearts. God has also placed this capacity for us to realize that there's more than just YOLO time. There's more than that. That God invites us into all of this. Now, I don't know how you've come, what you're feeling, what you're thinking about, maybe what you're worried about when you've come this morning to GRX. Now, maybe you're feeling like you're somewhere like in here. You're like somewhere right here, and you're like, oh man, I am so stressed. I am so overworked. I have so much stuff I got to do at work. I got all these chores I got to do. I got to get new tires for the car. I got to pay my internet bill. I got all this stuff. I don't have enough time. I'm totally freaking out. And you're like, yeah. Sometimes when we live, and if we're honest, like, we feel like this is all there is. We get super, like, myopic with feeling like it's only the present. It's only our life now. And what I'm wanting to impress upon us is that this is not all that there is. that God wants us to recognize that we live in the light of all of this and all of eternity. It's Jesus Christ who, when he died on the cross and then was raised again, opened the way for all of us as followers of Jesus to have eternal life with God in heaven. What that means is that actually our life, our eternal life, our time, does not actually begin down here. As followers of Jesus Christ, our eternity actually begins in this part when we say yes to being followers of Jesus Christ. So that the actual reality is that your eternal life and my eternal life begins now. That we are living in the light and in the reality of eternity. And I share that with you because sometimes we can get so concerned about all the things here that we actually forget about the assurance and the promise that we have of an eternity with God in heaven. It's God who puts eternity into our hearts. And he does that so that we would know him, that we would know him for eternity. So let me go on to the end here. There's three things that I'm going to offer that you might want to consider doing this week. You can just pick one. You don't have to be the A student or the overachiever and do all three. You can just pick one. Just be gentle with yourselves. You could reread Ecclesiastes, just the poetic part, verses 1 to 8, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And in this, you could just let the poetry of this speak to you. How does what is happening here speak to your own life? What resonates with you? Are you in a season where you're weeping? Maybe this is a season where you're really sad. It's okay to be in that season. God knows that. Scripture calls us in to a deeper human experience. Maybe you're in a season where you're laughing, where you're joyful, where you're thankful, where you're grateful. There's a season for that and a time for that. Maybe you're in a season where you're building up, or maybe you're in a season of tearing down. So whatever your season of life is, maybe you want to do that this week. And take some time, read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8. Maybe reflect on that. Even if you wanted to, if you're kind of a poetic type or an artistic type, you can take the structure of that passage and rewrite that as a poem in your own words for you. There's a time to work and there's a time to rest. There's a time to be employed and there's a time to be unemployed. For everything, there's a season. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing you might want to do is you might want to consider eternity. Now, this is a little bit more esoteric. It's a little bit more in your mind. But consider eternity. And the question is, how does eternal life in God give your life meaning now? How does the reality that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are assured that you will have eternity with heaven? That is an assurance. That is a promise from God. That is a promise. So then how does the promise of that in your life, in a very, very practical way, how does that give your life meaning? How does it reframe the things that you're worried about? How does the reality and the assurance of your eternal life by the Father who loves you, how does that reframe the things that we're worried about? So you might want to do that. Number two, consider eternity. Or you might want to just pick up on something that I talked about last week. Last week I talked about being grateful for the simple things in life. You might want to recognize that the time that we have is limited. And so we can be thankful for the time that we have. We can be thankful for the people that God has put into our lives, because maybe they're not going to be around all the time. We can be grateful for the things that have been given to us in the time that we have, because God makes all things beautiful in their time. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you that you continue to give us your word. And I pray, God, that as we think about who you are and who we are, that we might know you more deeply, that we might be grateful for the time that you've given us. God, if there's folks here, if people are feeling stressed or anxious, worried about stuff, God, I pray that you would help us to release those things, pray about those things, give those things up to you, and live more deeply into the assurance that you love us and that you have so much more planned for our lives than just what's here and now. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.